So this morning's reading is from the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, beginning at verse 42, and it can be found on page 1094, that's 1094, in the Church Bibles. So that's Acts 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Perhaps you could just turn to your neighbour briefly and answer the question, do you have enough money? Just a brief conversation. Well, that's great. Everyone's smiling. You think this is going to be fun?
Fantastic.
Jesus in Matthew 5-7, we call it the Sermon on the Mount, but in chapter 6, it's really the Sermon on the Mount. He talks about giving. And he says in that, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be yours as well. And I do believe that. The question is, does my theology transfer from my mind to my money? I think it was John Wesley said, the last part of a man to be converted is his pocket, his wallet. Does it transfer from my Bible to my bank account, from my salvation to my standing orders? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I remember when Sue and I were going out, and she was living in England, she was from Aylesbury, I was a Gurn, and I'd be writing letters, and every so often I'd call her my treasure. Oh. Now, if I were to call her my treasure, she'd think, what do you want? It'd be feel like there was something cynical going on. But Jesus says, what you treasure, that's where your heart is. And money's a funny thing, because we probably don't call it our treasure. If you watch a lot of Lord of the Rings, you might think, my precious, that sense of what we hold very close to ourselves. What is our treasure? In our Holy Habits series, so we've had 5, and we've got another 5 weeks of listening to just these 6 verses from Acts 42-47. It's the things the first church devoted themselves to. They gave themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, prayers. And the next thing, their spirit of generosity. They were so generous. They were always giving. They were selling things, not on eBay particularly, but just to give away. At the 9:30 this morning, we sang a hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee, by Frances Havergill. She was so passionate about letting everyone know the good news about Jesus. When she was in her mid-40s, she got together, she was quite wealthy, she got together all her jewels and sold them all and gave them all to mission societies that were just starting up in the 19th century. Later that year, she died. I think she made a good choice. My silver, my gold, not a jot would I withhold. She gave everything, actually, because she had a vision. I think we give when we have a vision. I think I could make a difference. It may not be much, but I really can make a difference. I'm so thrilled that there's so many members of this church give generously. Not just as a one-off, but it's become a whole lifestyle. There's building projects, there's staff salaries. And for years, and there's been building projects and 10% given to another place. It's fantastic. And right now, we've got water coming in. We've now got no roof on here other than that ceiling. So we're hoping to get a new roof on quite soon. Thank you so much. The problem of preaching or talking about giving, I don't know how to say this, but if I want to give a rebuke, it always lands on the wrong people, I've found. There are people who are hard-hearted. I think they really ought to repent. I don't know you lot well enough yet to know that, so be at peace. But and then I find someone really tender-hearted, and they say, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean you. I meant the person next to you. So you just will have to receive it. I don't know what anyone here gives, but we're thinking about what is generosity? What is God's call on us? But I don't want to become legalistic. I mean, I love what Bill Hybel said. The local church is the hope of the world. When local churches are doing their stuff well, it's a beautiful thing. It's transformative of a society. But, I mean, I believe in tithing. That's 10% of the income goes first to God. And then offerings on top of that, when we see special things that we want to give to. But I've done that since I was a teenager. And yet I don't want to somehow think in my head I've earned anything. It's not a bargaining chip with God. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. He doesn't owe me anything. That's just what I felt I was being called to do. And I'm glad I have done that. And I know many others do. So not to be a Pharisee, but to be with the spirit of generosity. There's a couple of verses from 2 Corinthians 9, which I like. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. But this idea of sowing generously, there was years ago, Sue, who loves gardening, I don't, but I'm glad she does, she sowed ridiculously profligate sweet peas in our garden. And the thing about sweet peas, no matter how much you cut them, they spring back with beautiful smelling flowers. And the house was filled with the fragrance of their perfume. It was just beautiful. But I remember she'd sort of sown very generously. And I think it's such a beautiful picture of when we give, do we have a sense that we're sowing? And that there's a beautiful fragrance. There's parts of the Bible that are anthropomorphic. It makes God look like a human being, especially in the Old Testament, where it says God looked down and said, oh, it's a long way up here, isn't it? And he looks down on the children of human beings, and then it says he saw what they were doing, good or ill. And so often when people give generously, it feels like it's, the phrase used, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And it's like going, not bestow, but giving. Oh, I love that smell. These people are so generous, and God's happy because of our heart is more like his. God so loved the world that he gave. So giving. I wonder if our giving is sort of sowing generously. And then the very next verse, which is very helpful, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. And what I like about this is really every word, each of you. It's a bit like taxation. People think, oh, I think the rich people should give. But actually, the way it works, if everyone gives, there is enough. So each of you should give. This is normal behavior. But it immediately says, what you have decided in your heart to give. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. So we decide in our hearts. We don't just turn up and what have I got in my pocket. It's about planned giving. And it's as simple as saying this. if you were to say to your gas supplier, I do want a regular supply of gas to my house, and if it's okay, I'll just give you whatever I've got in my pocket at the end of the month. Let's see how that turns out. That's going to be an interesting conversation, isn't it? So planned giving. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. But he does go on, not reluctantly or under compulsion. So at the 9:30, we have size people who come round with the bag. And, you know, there's the option they could just shake it under someone's face until they put in more. That would be quite fun, actually, wouldn't it? But we don't do that because it's not under compulsion or reluctantly. Here we go. It's for God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. You may know that the Greek word there is hilarion, from which we get the word hilarious. God loves people as the collection plate comes in. Or, of course, at the 11 o'clock, we don't have a collection plate. We've got a white box so you can put it in. The reason we do that is because so many people give by standing order that it's like feels slightly wasted just putting it around. But nevertheless, we're bringing it forward in the last song as a way of saying, Lord, this is part of our giving to you. We give our time, our love, our energy, but our giving does also include our money. So God loves hilarious givers. So it'd be really nice if when the collection plate comes or it's brought forward, everyone's, ha! Oh, I gave so much. Oh, it's such a laugh here. There's times when Sue and I really felt prodded. There's been times when we've been really short of cash, really tight for money. And other times when things have been much easier. But we've always found we could give. Can I say, if you are currently in a position that you can't, in the name of Jesus, be free. Don't let that land on you. I don't want anyone to go out of here feeling guilty. You might go out feeling nudged by the Holy Spirit. If you just generally feel rubbish, that's either hormones or the devil. It's not God. He's not out to make you feel rubbish. He convicts us so that we can change. But if you can't currently give, please don't think you should stop coming. We want everyone to come. But if you're being challenged to think, have I thought in my heart, or is it more just random? And we've always found we could. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain. There's so many people in our culture have stuff, but they don't have contentment. The very word content is a rich word. And there's, I asked you, how much money is enough money? What the writer of Ecclesiastes says, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. So many people are trying to get too much. They don't really need it, but they lose their tranquility, their peace. There's not contentment. So my hope is that we will have a healthy attitude to money. A healthy attitude. What is a healthy attitude? Our Archbishop, Justin, before he had his current job, he wrote this book, Dethroning Mammon. His previous job, he was treasurer of a multinational oil company. So he does know about high finance. And he's very clear, you know, having money isn't a bad thing. It's a blessing if we've been given resources. The answer isn't to make everyone poor and equally miserable. We want to raise the living standards for everyone. But if we've been blessed with resources, how do we use it? And he talks very powerfully, I think, about Mammon, which is this deity like Pluto. It's this god of money, and it can infect our hearts, whether we've got lots or none. The deceitfulness of riches, as Jesus calls it in the parable of the sower. And how do we dethrone it? So we are grateful, but we think it through appropriately giving. Ask Zacchaeus. I mean, Zacchaeus, he had more than he needed, and then he found better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing the wind. And once he was able to be free, well, Jesus said in Luke 19, salvation has come to this house. That's what salvation looked like. He was free from that which had oppressed him, which happened to be too much money. So to be really practical, I believe we are called to give, Sue and I, 10% to the local church, and I've always believed that. And we give on the first day of the month. Because if I were to wait till the last day of the month, that's very hard. But because my pay comes in the day before, on the last day of the month, I've given and I didn't really feel it. Do you know what I mean? It's just an easier way of doing it. Because sometimes it turns out there's more month than salary. So if I've given it, I didn't feel the pain of it. Now, you might decide differently, and that's completely fine. But please plan. Please do it. I've asked one or two questions on the link, the Sunday sheet. So do you plan to give? Or do you give what you happen to have? Have you thought through what's a healthy attitude to money? And something that gripped me, as I say, from being a teenager, if just 10 people tithe, they can employ an 11th person on an equal salary. I remember that blowing my mind as a teenager and thinking, that's radical. If 100 people tithe, 10 people could be employed on an equal salary. I found that so exciting, and so I wanted to sign up for that. How much money is enough? And perhaps the best thing, can you remember a time when you were generous in your giving, when you gave and just laughed, that you found it was more blessed to give than to receive? So, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll help us to be wise in our stewardship of money. Paul also said, remember the Lord Jesus Christ, who, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Lord, help us to be healthy, and thank you for all that you've given us. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Then thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord for all his love.